My name is Tony Francois, and I'm a senior staff attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation.
I have a couple of questions about the case, but what I'd like to do is start off with a brief overview of what the original complaint against Duarte was.
Certainly. In late 2012, Duarte Nursery had a contractor plow about 450 acres that it owns in Northern California in order to put a winter wheat crop on it. In early 2013, Duarte Nursery got an order from the Army Corps of Engineers directing it to cease all work in the waters of the United States on that property based on the Corps' statement that a violation of the Clean Water Act had occurred. Duarte made a couple of efforts to get further information from the Corps to find out what the agency thought Duarte had done to violate the Clean Water Act. The company was not aware of anything that it did that actually violated the law. And since the Corps refused to provide the information that it based its decision on, in the fall of 2013, on behalf of Duarte Nursery, Pacific Legal Foundation filed a due process lawsuit against the Corps of Engineers. And the claim in that suit is that the federal government deprived Duarte Nursery of the use of its property by ordering it not to farm it without providing a hearing in order to determine what the facts were. In response to that lawsuit, the government filed a Clean Water Act enforcement case against Duarte, alleging that the plowing that Duarte had done on the property violated the Clean Water Act. And so the issue in that case is really whether plowing requires a permit if it's done in what are defined as waters in the United States. The reason that question arises is because the Clean Water Act specifically exempts all normal farming practices from the requirement to get Clean Water Act permits. And the regulations that implement the Act specifically say that the plowing is not subject to the Act, that it's not a discharge in the technical term. So we're quite confused as to why the Corps would think that plowing would violate the Act without a permit. The regulations don't require a permit for plowing. This leads to then last Friday's decision from the federal court where both these things are pending. And the court agreed with the, unfortunately, we disagreed, but the court agreed with the Army Corps of Engineers that even though the statute exempts normal farming practices, and even though the regulations say that plowing is not a discharge, that the plowing that the company did on their property violated the Clean Water Act, that they did not have a permit, and it went through some what are called vernal pools, small seasonal depressions of cold water during the rainy season. So that's the overview of the case. The basic takeaway from this decision is that if this were applied nationwide, you would essentially need a Corps of Engineer permit to farm any of your property that has wetlands or swales or other features that the government would consider waters in the United States.
Okay, so just that overview brings to mind many other questions. To start with, was there any actual damage done, any environmental damage that was done on the land?
No, and in fact, the government's own experts examined the property for close to 2 weeks, you know, in very close detail. Their reports show that all of the wetlands, all of the vernal pools that were plowed are still there, are still functioning, that there's no loss in acreage of the vernal pools, and certainly none of them are converted to dry land, which is the condition that the regulation uses to exempt plowing from the Clean Water Act. If you use a plow to essentially level a field where a wetland had been or to fill it in, then that doesn't count as plowing, and you would need a permit for that. But nothing of that nature was done. You know, a single pass with the plow was done. It penetrated 4 to 6 inches deep. It left just normal plow furrows and ridges behind it. And there's no, not only no permanent harm, but in our view, not even any temporary harm to any of the vernal pools that were plowed.
And I want to also make clear, there wasn't even any actual water in these areas that we're now calling navigable waters. Is that correct?
There are a few of the features that had some water in them while the plowing was taking place. This was in November and December of 2012. And so, you know, there had been a rainstorm recently. There was water flowing in some of the swales. And, you know, the pictures that were taken on site show that none of the plowing actually prevented the water flow or, you know, damaged any of the waterways. Most of these features have no water in them for most of the year, if you were to go there. Certainly in the summertime, but even in the late spring, you wouldn't find any water. So they're temporary water features.
Okay. So, and then talking about the issue of damage still, from what I understand, the government does not have to prove that there was any damage for the farmer to be fined or otherwise contacted like he was. Is that right? The government doesn't have any burden of proof, or as you said, they actually proved that or showed that there was no damage?
Well, we would disagree that the government doesn't have to show. We disagree with the government and ultimately with the court and what the government has to show. Because the regulations state that the plowing is never a discharge, then the consequence of that is then plowing is not something that's regulated by the Clean Water Act, which only regulates discharges to waters in the United States. So because the regulations say plowing is not a discharge, then we have to show, and we have, that what Duarte Nursery did on its property was plowing, and that's very broadly defined. You know, would meet any farmer's common sense understanding of what plowing is. There is a provision at the end of this regulation that says, so long as no waters in the United States are converted to dry land, and so our view is what the government had to prove in this case, which it can't because this didn't happen, is that the plowing actually converted these vernal pools into, you know, permanently dry, no water feature to them at all. So, for example, if somebody had used a plow to, you wouldn't really use a plow to do this, but, you know, somebody had, you know, say, plowed through one of these things so frequently that they effectively leveled it out or filled it in, that would be a different case. And the government might bring a claim in that instance that you had basically used a loophole, but you said you were plowing, but what you were really doing was trying to level this water feature out. That's absolutely not what happened here. As I've mentioned, you know, even the government's own expert reports show that the vernal pools and other water features on the property are all there, all the ones that were there before, they're all functioning properly. And that in some instances, even the acreage of them, the size of them has increased. The government never even tried to show that any of these vernal pools had been converted to dry land, that they'd been obliterated. The argument they made, which sounds kind of laughable, but it's what they've argued, is that rather than having to show that the entire vernal pool was converted to dry land, what they've argued is that the plow ridge next to the furrow, that little ridge of soil there, is a little tiny upland. As they put it in their expert report, a small mountain range. And I'm not making that up. Their expert report says, well, you know, maybe the whole wetland isn't converted to dry land. But, you know, the plow shanks, which are about 18 inches apart on the tool, as plows will do, left behind a furrow and a little soil ridge next to it. And they say that little soil ridge is a conversion of a little strip of that wetland to dry land. Now, if that's actually the way the law works, then there is no exemption for plowing. There is no exemption for normal farming practices. And it's just an absurd way of trying to apply the statute and the law. But that's their argument.
From what I understood from reading parts of the ruling, the judge ruled that soil is a pollutant, and because of that, the plow is basically an instrument of pollution. And so they're claiming that by moving the soil, he was polluting these areas. Or, I'm sorry, she ruled that that's what...
Yeah, that was the judge's ruling in the case. So, you know, the idea is, you know, as the government has argued it, what the act prohibits is discharging pollutants to waters in the United States. So they argue that the vernal pool is a water of the United States, and that the dirt that you move by running a plow through it moves to the side, and then something the just inches away that you've moved it to is the addition of a pollutant to a water of the United States. That's their view of it. So this is not a common sense understanding of what it means to add pollutants to a water body. It's running a plow through an area of soil that pushes the dirt, you know, a few inches to either side. But that's the view of the Clean Water Act that the government is taking in this case, that if you push a piece of dirt, you know, 2 inches away, you've polluted the water body that dirt was originally sitting in. So one of the issues that we will be addressing as this case is appealed, which it certainly will be, is whether or not that's a sound legal interpretation of the Clean Water Act. And there are some conflicting prior court decisions on that. So we're hopeful that on appeal, we'll be able to establish that this is an incorrect reading of the Clean Water Act. That you're not polluting a water body simply by moving molecules of soil, you know, 2 inches to the left and right when you run a plow through it. We're disappointed that the judge didn't, in our view, you know, follow all the way through on the argument we made, which is that because what our client did was plowing, that is not a discharge under the Clean Water Act. And so that's also one of the issues that we're going to have addressed on appeal.
Obviously, plowing is an important part of any farming, really. It's something that all farmers do across the nation. It's how they tend to the land and get it ready for their crops. So how could this ruling here in California have implications in other states or other cases where farmers are also battling the Clean Water Act and these minute details and interpretations of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on whether other judges follow this decision in other cases. Right now, this is a decision of one federal court in the Eastern District of California. And so it's not binding on other courts. But, of course, the government will cite this decision as it brings similar types of cases in other parts of the country and try to get other judges to agree with this view. So I think in a larger sense, what this shows is that the government will try to label anything as a violation of the Clean Water Act, that there's, there are these very clear and very common sense exceptions for farming practices, and even this regulation that says that plowing is not even subject of the Clean Water Act. It's not a discharge. And yet, in the face of that very common sense, very clear, legal principle that you can plow without getting a permit from the Corps of Engineers, they've pressed this case, and so far they've succeeded at the trial court level. What Duarte Nursery did in this case, there's nothing remarkable about it. There's no like weird thing about what they did. It's just they hired a contractor to run a plow, through the soil, and so this shows that the Corps of Engineers will view that as a violation of the Clean Water Act anytime it takes place in what they broadly define as waters in the United States. We've become aware of permitting consultants and agricultural advisors here in California who are hearing from more and more farmers who are being told, well, I'm being told by the Army Corps of Engineers I need a permit to farm. So tell me how to get this permit and what's involved in this. It's a significant burden, and that's why it was exempted by Congress. And the average Clean Water Act permit, an individual permit, takes a couple of years to get the permit, and a couple of hundred, more than $250,000, seriously, in consulting fees to fill out all the studies and the other things that are required to get this permit. And obviously, the reason Congress exempted farming from the Clean Water Act is because the nation that requires its farmers to spend 2 years and $250,000 getting a permit to farm is going to starve. You can't farm under those conditions. And yet the Corps, seems quite intent on reading that very clear exclusion out of the law. So our word of caution is that if farmers have been thinking of themselves as exempt, we agree that that's the way the law reads. But farmers need to be aware that increasingly the Corps of Engineers doesn't see it that way.
You mentioned appealing. Is that the next step, or what is the next step for your part of this case?
Well, we will certainly be appealing this ruling. It's not clear immediately because the judge ruled for the government the Clean Water Act violation had occurred. We're in the process of determining now whether there will be an immediate appeal from that, or whether we'll have to go through an additional step, which would be then to determine what penalty would be owed for what the court determined to be a Clean Water Act violation. Our preference would be to do an immediate appeal so that we can sort out this mistake about liability. But that will be up to the judge, up to the court, to determine whether we can take an immediate appeal or whether we have to do a trial on the size of the penalty. If we wind up doing the trial on the size of the penalty, then once that's complete, all of these issues will get appealed. And this is the type of case that at least in terms of Pacific Legal Foundation, we handle a lot of Clean Water Act cases. Our experience is that they always wind up getting dealt with on appeal. So we're not alarmed that we have to appeal this decision. But we do think it's kind of alarming that, this really extreme argument that the government made in this case wound up being successful at the trial court. So it'll be important, I think, to keep an eye on this case. And certainly, to support farmers like Duarte Nursery that are willing to take a stand and, fight something like this rather than knuckling under to it.
Obviously, it's a complicated situation, but then it's kind of not. There are, like you said, exemptions that we all thought were supposed to be allowed. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't, or any point that we should have discussed that we haven't?
Yeah, I think we covered the ground pretty well. In addition to the court ruling that there was a Clean Water Act violation, the court also ruled, so if you'll recall, we originally sued the Corps of Engineers on behalf of DoorDash Nursery for failing to provide a hearing before shutting their farming down here. And early in this case, the court had ruled that, yes, the order that the government sent saying cease and desist all work and waters the U.S. Was a deprivation that triggered the requirement for a hearing at some point. So one of the other disappointing things about the ruling that came out Friday is that the judge reversed that prior ruling and instead concluded now that that order didn't deprive the DoorDash Nursery of any property. And so there was no need for a hearing on it. That's also, in our view, sort of disappointing, but should be somewhat alarming, because what it basically says is the government can order you not to use your property for as long as they want to keep that order in place. That order is still in place today, 3 years later, more than 3 years later. They're unable to do anything on any part of the property that's considered waters of the U.S. And yet the court said that no hearing is required for that, either before they issue the order or after or ever. And so that gives the agencies like the Army Corps, if this were to become again a nationwide interpretation of this, it gives them significant leverage to force farmers to settle claims or to agree to liability and things like this, because if they can, without ever giving you a hearing, simply order you to stop farming, that's going to put a lot of people in a bind.
Okay, so just to make sure I have this clear, Duarte still has that land, but now he cannot use it at all.
He can't use. He's subject to an order to cease and desist all work. That's not limited in any way. In any area of the property that is considered waters of the United States. So there are these seasonal ponds, the vernal pools, that together with a couple of seasonal swales that drain into creeks, that cover about 20 acres of the property, 20 acres out of 450. As nature would have it, though, the location of these particular ponds and particularly these seasonal creeks that kind of affect the property, if you can't do anything in them, there's large parts of the property you can't get to because particularly the seasonal creeks cut them off. So the effect of the order is that large parts of the property can't be accessed by farming equipment.
So he's going to be losing quite a bit of potential income too if he can't even access land that he could use if he could get his equipment there.
Correct. I mean, there were at least $50,000 in plowing and planting costs that were lost just in the crop that they were ordered not to harvest back in 2012, 2013, and then of course they've been unable to farm the property since then because of the order. So every year that's an additional accumulated loss. This piece of property is not the only part of their operation, but it's 450 acres that they can't do any farming on it.